Domingo Santana, ooh, I wanna have ya. Tanaka's Fakata, a jag like Michael Walker. Polanco and Franco,
ooh, they're gonna have you get into first place. Check batted ball data and swing and strike rates. Raisins are shriveled grapes. Here's Adam's happy place.
Yo, what's up? It's Friday. It's Kokomo Friday. Welcome. Feel the good vibrations, everybody. Welcome to the show. Adam Azer and Scott White, another scam episode here. And hey, I hung out with Chris last night. He's on a little business trip up here in New York. He misses everybody, and he's on vacation next week. So Scott, like, we're just dominating this podcast lately.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
Though, I like it.
Next week, there is a company holiday at the end of the week.
There is
not just a company holiday, an American holiday.
Yes. And thank you for reminding me. Programming note then. The plan, right? Are you working Friday, Scott? Let's have this conversation.
I am not.
You're not.
I'm not. Let's have a production meeting right now.
Okay, so there will be no show on Thursday. I do think there will be a show on Friday, but apparently Scott won't be on it. But we'll cobble something together. So everybody, look forward to 4th of July. I love 4th of July. It's going to be great. So there'll be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday next week. All right, we've got to talk about two-star pitchers, obviously. Get you ready for, I don't even know, week 15? Is it 15 coming up?
I think so. Well, it's different ones in different leagues, of course. The standard, I think it's, I think it's 15.
Okay, great. But more importantly, we got some prospects coming up. One's coming back and one's coming up. And yeah, you know I'm excited about Brendan McKay, even though I did not get him on waivers in my Yahoo League, which is complete crap. But Brendan McKay is going to start throwing him into the fire against Texas on Saturday. Now, two questions. One, is this just because they played 18 innings yesterday and they need someone, or is it more permanent? And two, are you willing to start Brendan McKay, who just has great, great numbers in the minors as a pitcher and actually starting to do better as a hitter? And then we'll talk about that. That'll be the third question. But one, is he up to stay? Two, will you start him this weekend against home against Texas, Brendan McKay?
I wouldn't be afraid to start him this weekend. The main way he stood out throughout his minor league career is strikeout to walk ratio. So the guy throws strikes and, misses enough bats. But the other question is really one I can't give the answer to. It is the reason he got called up. Ryan Yarbrough, who I don't know if we call him Saturday's intended starter or Saturday, the guy who was supposed to pitch the most innings, whether it was following an opener or not. But he had to pitch three Thursday in an 18-inning game, and that's why apparently they're summoning McKay. That doesn't mean that they couldn't keep him around if they want to. Jalen Beeks, who is one of three hybrid starter relievers who pitches a lot of innings every fifth day, doesn't pitch that many when he pitches. It's usually around three or four. So, they could make him a more traditional reliever and have McKay take his spot. There's certainly places to put McKay if they want to put him there. And maybe Saturday's performance will help determine that. But there are really a lot of questions surrounding McKay. He was taking a turn every sixth day at AAA. He was limited to five innings to start at AAA. Now, both of those, from what I understand, were to save some innings for a potential promotion down the line. So does that mean they're not going to bother saving innings now that he's here? I mean, he's only like 10 away from last year's total, so it's not like he's making it to October either way. Maybe they'll just kind of let him go until he's done. I don't know. Are they going to want to continue to develop him as a hitter?
Right.
Because it doesn't look like they're ready to force feed him at bats in the majors. That's going to hurt their playoff chances. So is that going to be a reason they send him back down, since he has been a two-way player throughout his minor league career? Or will they let the innings run out and then send him back down to only hit and solve the issue that way? I don't know. These are all important questions and ones that I can only speculate about. But what I'm not going to speculate about is whether or not you should add him, because in an environment where it's hard to put anything together that you trust at pitcher, because so many home runs are being hit, this is a guy who has the potential to make an impact whether it's five innings a time or not, with great ratios, and you always take a shot at upside in this environment. And then we'll see, and then we'll go from there. We'll make a determination from there. We'll see how things unfold. But you have to pick up McKay because the upside is too high not to.
Would you drop Zach Gallen for Brendan McKay?
No. No, I draw the line there. I have McKay 58 in my starting pitcher rankings. I think Gallen is like 54th, 53rd, something like that. I also want to drop Jesus Luzardo for McKay because he will be up soon. And I think it's much clearer the role he's going to have. And I think he dominated in ways that are a little more trustworthy are going to transition to the majors.
How about a Sonny Gray? I don't want to get, you know, down. I want to kind of compare to McKay. Yeah. Would you drop like Sonny Gray for Brendan McKay?
I would. Yes, I would. Though Sonny Gray isn't too many spots behind him. So you're in the right range of pitchers that we're talking about here.
All right. Joe Musgrove had a very good start yesterday. Musgrove or McKay?
I would go McKay.
Really?
I'd go McKay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Then yeah. Who is the more exciting pickup right now? Brendan McKay or Keston Hira, who is coming back and 281, 333, 531 slash line, 3 walks to 23 strikeouts, only 1 steal in 17 games. But Travis Shaw is going back to the minors. Keston Hira is coming back up. Hira is 59% owned. McKay is 48% owned. Obviously, it depends on your team need, hitting versus pitching. But just in general, yeah. Who's a more attractive ad right now?
Well, everybody needs a pitcher. I'm sure there's nobody who looks at their pitching staff and says, this is fine. Everyone may not need a second baseman. That being said, I feel like the chances are better that Hira's an impact fantasy performer rest of way than McKay is. He was really starting to find himself at the majors that last week before he got sent back down because Travis Shaw came off the IL, and he's just a natural with the bat. Obviously, his minor league numbers are terrific. I would add Hira over Kevin Biggio, who's a guy we've been hyping a lot recently, or Jonathan Villar, somebody like that. I think I put him around 14th in my second base rankings. Haven't had a chance to adjust those yet. Which, you know, 14th means in a shallow league, in a particular if you're devoting a lot of your bench to pitchers, maybe you can't add him, but probably somebody in your league can. And I would be making him a pretty high priority right now off the waiver wire.
Okay, so those pretty exciting notes right now with Keston Hira and Brendan McKay coming up. And if you want a little bit more confidence in Brendan McKay, or maybe I'm steering you down a horrible path, I don't know. The Rangers, they have a great offense, but they are 5th in OPS against righties. They're 17th in OPS against lefties. So McKay is a lefty. Maybe that helps him a little bit. Scott, Alex Young, I just want to mention him. Arizona starting pitcher, made his major league debut yesterday. 5 innings of 1-run ball with 5 strikeouts at San Francisco. I imagine he could get skipped next week. Arizona has 2 off days, but if he did make a turn, he'd probably be at the Dodgers. Do you have any interest in Alex Young? This is not a guy who had good minor league numbers when he came up.
No. 6.09 ERA at AAA, and I believe he had a 5 ERA last year, so it wasn't just a juiced ball situation at AAA. What's weird about him is he threw 42 sliders. He threw 16 fastballs. I'm assuming wow. That data is right. I didn't watch him pitch, but that is weird.
So not really feeling it?
No.
Okay. All right, good. So, look, I haven't had a chance. I am in a food coma from last night. Chris Towers and Ben Gretsch, who's on our fantasy staff, and I and a few other people from CBS, we dominated some barbecue last night. It was amazing. A pound and a half of brisket, more than a pound of pulled pork. Some,
by yourself?
No.
This is what you eat?
4 of us.
Oh, okay.
What else did we get? It's a couple of spare ribs. Some sausage, and then like a ton of sides. It was great. It was almost as great as meeting Bill Clinton a week ago. I don't want to talk about Bill anymore, you know, whatever. But we had fun, and I'm in a food coma, and it was great. And I met a listener last night. I met Josh, who a year or two ago was responsible for the bet when I said that Fernando Rodney was going to lose his closer's job by like May 1st or June 1st, and I lost, so I had to eat peeps on the air. That was Josh's fault. But I met him, and it was great. I always love meeting our listeners. So hopefully we'll get to meet more of you at a later date. Let's talk about two-star pitchers here. This is my first glance at the list. And guys who are owned in 70% of leagues or fewer. And, oh, all right. Actually, not that bad with Pivetta, Logan Allen, and Matt Strom. I've seen worse lists. Ariel Jurado certainly making an interesting case, I guess, at in deeper leagues. So, I don't know, Scott, is there one guy that you think is widely available that needs to be owned for next week?
I think that there doesn't look like a huge standout here, but there are several guys who would be okay. I think Logan Allen versus San Francisco at the Dodgers. He's 55% owned, so among those most widely available, I think he'd be my first choice.
Okay.
You know, Zach Gallen's 75% owned. Well, he also, it's also not totally clear how long he's going to have a spot. So, but, you know, if you haven't picked him yet up already, this week would make for a fine time to do so.
Okay. Logan Allen and Zach Gallen. I like that. And Matt Strom has the same matchups as Logan Allen. They both have San Francisco and at the Dodgers. One great matchup, one terrible matchup. And it might be good enough for a two-star week. We'll do more of the two-star pitchers in a little bit. Let's go to the standouts. So let me preview what's coming up on today's show. We're going to talk a little trade. We'll look at the most traded list. We'll look at the most added list. And we've got a lot of your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We got some hey real quick. But my standouts from yesterday, Scott, are all in the bullpen. So let's talk about some closers. Edwin Diaz. 5 runs, recorded 1 out, blew the save, gave up 5 runs, a just miserable week for the Mets, gets even worse. 4th blown save, and Diaz has a 4.94 ERA. Hector Neris, his 2nd terrible appearance in his last 6, he blew a save against the Mets. Craig Kimbrel, hey, Craig Kimbrel, his strikeout of Brian McCann was one of the worst calls I've seen all year, so just keep that in mind, but he did have a clean inning, and he says he's still ramping it up a little bit.
He had a scoreless inning. I don't know if I'd call it a clean.
Scoreless, thank you. A walk, he did give up a walk and a hit. Scoreless inning. It might be a little bit until I'm full bore with all I got, but right now it felt pretty good. And he walked out to Sweet Child of Mine. Does he always walk out to Sweet Child of Mine?
I actually don't know. I don't know.
It's pretty good. It's a good entrance. Remember that. Good entrance song. It's a great riff. And Wade Davis. Like, Kimbrel, I think we can do separately. But when we look at Diaz, Hector Neris, and Wade Davis. Wade Davis, like, dude needs to lose his job to Scott Oberg, okay? who are you most concerned about of those three kind of struggling closers right now, Diaz, Neris, and Davis?
Well, Davis, I mean, yeah, like you said, dude needs to lose his job. I think the contrast between him and Scott Oberg yesterday was pretty clear. You know, Davis has allowed 12 earned runs in his last 8 appearances, up to a 6 ERA. Oberg has about a 2 ERA and struck out the side in the 8th. So I think if you play in a league where saves are hard to find, Oberg, you need to make sure he's on your roster. You know, Neris, I don't think it's enough for the Phillies to play around with that, but they are a team that doesn't seem to mind playing around with the 9th inning, so that's a little scary. I'm actually not that worried about Edwin Diaz, as awful as it's been lately. His BABIP is through the roof. His XFIP Sierra all suggest he should have more like a mid-2s ERA. And the Mets don't really have a great alternative. Obviously, they paid a lot to make him their closer this offseason. I think they're going to keep running him out there. You know, another outing or two like this, maybe they pull back on him for a while, as the Mariners had to do, I think, a couple years ago. But I don't think it would be, you know, you're done being a closer. I think it would be, let's take a little time to get you right. But still, it's a frustrating and disappointing development for what was probably the first closer drafted in your league.
Yeah, yeah, it's been a bad stretch. I mean, he first of all, Diaz has already allowed more home runs this year than last year, which isn't a huge surprise given the home run rates, but still already more than last year. But his first 24 appearances, he had a 1.64 ERA. He had 35 strikeouts to 6 walks in 22 innings. So, you know, it's just been kind of a rough stretch for Diaz, and I think the stuff still seems pretty good. Neris with Robertson on the IL, with Sir Anthony Dominguez on the IL. Like, I don't know that there's a clear guy that they would replace him with, so I think I don't want to see him blow another save, but I think he's probably safe for now. And every time Kapler that I've seen him talk about Neris, it's been pretty positive. And we've made our stance clear on Wade Davis. I wouldn't be surprised if they put him back on the IL with shoulder inflammation, you know, something like that. Craig Kimbrell, any thoughts? We can move on from this pretty quickly, I'd say, Scott. But any thoughts on Craig Kimbrell?
I mean, his velocity was down after already being down last year. It was down like a mile per hour from last year, but
still good.
Hard
though.
To make too much of it first outing.
Still threw pretty hard, right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it was average 96.5 on his fastball hit.
Right.
97, 98, something like that.
All right, we got a couple of sponsors today. We got Indochino, and we've got ZipRecruiter. Indochino, you know how it is. Beautiful suits, custom suits. Go to Indochino.com and use the promo code FBT at checkout, and you'll hear about that offer in a little bit. ZipRecruiter, if you're looking for a job, if you're looking to hire someone, please go to ZipRecruiter.com/strike. ZipRecruiter.com/strike. That's our URL. And you can try it for free. So speaking of which, let's hear from one of those sponsors right now. When we come back, we got some news and notes, an update on Giancarlo Stanton, an update on Kyle Hendricks. Very relevant, perhaps, for you Adbert Alzolay owners. We'll be right back on Fantasy Baseball Today.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
So Giancarlo Stanton is going to miss at least a month and a week, I guess. He's not going to be back until August at the earliest. Do you think they call up Clint Frazier, Scott? I don't want to have this conversation every day, but now that we know it's a very pretty long-term injury, do you think Frazier's someone that we need to add?
At some point during that time, they'll probably have occasion to call up Clint Frazier. Yes. And, I think I own him in a 15-team Roto League. I never dropped him in that format. And obviously, I'm not going to now.
Okay.
But I don't know exactly when it'll be and how much he'll play when it does happen.
Kyle Hendricks could be back before the All-Star break. Yeah. What do you think this means for Alzolay?
I mean, it could mean it's a short stay in the majors. It could mean they find another way to keep him around. Somebody else goes on the IL between now and then. Maybe Hendricks suffers a setback. I'm not. If I was the one who grabbed Alzolay, I'm not dropping him now, except for maybe like Brendan McKay, something like that. But yeah, it could be a short stay. It always could have been a short stay.
Sure. They're using a 6-man rotation now. Tyler Chatwood's not very good, so maybe they remove Chatwood and go 6-man, but teams don't typically do that. So just be wary if you own Alzolay. You shouldn't be counting on him, right? You got to be cautious with that. Chris Davis is day-to-day. He was hit by a pitch on the elbow. Jordan Alvarez, and we are saying Jordan. And I'm no, Jordan. We are saying Jordan, and I'm sticking to that. He left with a knee issue. And
are
it was,
we?
Yes.
Why do you think it's Jordan? What
because
did I miss?
The front
like,
office.
I've never heard anybody else call him
because
Jordan.
Because I think Jeff Luno said that he wants to be called Jordan. So
okay.
That has circulated. That has made its way around. That's what Jim Bowden told us, and I've seen some confirmation on that. So Jordan Alvarez, he left with a knee issue. It's precautionary, but there's going to be an MRI. So you should be stashing Kyle Tucker anyway. But Alvarez actually played the outfield yesterday, so if he's hurt, just another reason for them to think about bringing up Kyle Tucker. Spencer Turnbull left with a shoulder.
All-star break coming up.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be that bad of an injury for them to put Alvarez on the IL. It's like you read the waiver wire column this morning. Did you, Adam? Or did you come up with that?
I didn't even look at the two-star pitchers, so no, I didn't read the waiver wire column. But Spencer Turnbull has left shoulder fatigue. An MRI was negative. Eddie Rosario sat with a sprained ankle, and he did not appear in an 18-inning game, so it must be fairly serious. Who knows? Maybe he'll be back today. But I thought it was a little bit of a red flag that Rosario didn't play in an 18-inning game. Kevin Kiermaier left with leg tightness. They're calling it day-to-day. Angelton Simmons is back. Williams Astudillo is on the IL with an oblique strain. Kyle Seager remains day-to-day with a hand injury. Lorenzo Cain returned to the lineup after cryogenic thumb treatment, and he batted sixth, and he's still not 100%, but Craig Counsell said that he will be back to the leadoff spot when he's at full strength. Alex Avila could come off the IL this weekend. Why is that relevant? Because we don't want it to eat into Carson Kelly's playing time. Kelly homered again yesterday. This catcher is a must-own. There's a CBSSports.com article about Lourdes Gurriel and why he might be hitting better. I encourage you to read it. The gist of it is he switched positions, and he's been better against breaking balls. And Hunter Pence made the All-Star team. And ordinarily, I'd love to talk about the All-Star team, but I'd rather talk fantasy today, Scott. So let me play some fun music that everybody loves, and let's say to a third baseman who's 66% owned, hey, Yandy Diaz, we say,
welcome back.
Welcome back, Yandy Diaz. So before going on the IL, you know, decent numbers, but was not a top 20, was not a top 15 third baseman, was not a top 20 first baseman. And a lot of people are like, hey, Yandy Diaz is coming back. Should I drop him or this other guy? Like, I don't know. How much of a must-own do you think Yandy Diaz is?
I don't think he should be owned in much more than 66% of leagues. Maybe closer to like 75. But yeah, I mean, the way, particularly at the two positions where he's eligible, first base and third base, the way things have gone there this year. Like I just don't think he has the upside to really force his way up the rankings, really. You know, like the 20th player at each of those positions is a really good player. And so does Yandy Diaz deserve to overtake them? I don't know. I don't think so. You know, he's had improved the power this year, but like everybody's power is up this year. And I don't think it's, you know, he's probably going to top out around 20-25 home runs. And yeah, I don't know. He's just kind of fringy, I feel like.
All right. So would you rather have, how about rank these three guys? Tommy La Stella, Michael Chavis, and Yandy Diaz.
Well, I'd put Chavis third, Tommy La Stella first, but yeah. Yandy Diaz is the only one of the three who doesn't have second base eligibility.
Okay.
And so that obviously has to factor into the discussion. But yeah, Chavis's strikeout rate is up to like, it's like one of the very worst in baseball now. He's really fallen on hard times for the Red Sox.
Yeah, yeah. I think when Mitch Moreland comes back, and I wouldn't be surprised if they sent him down. So, all right. Scott, this is the most important segment of the show. Are you ready for it? Are you excited? Convince me. Mm-hmm. Convince me that you fake it. Fake it till you make it, Scott.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, this is going to be great.
So look, we're about halfway through the season. And I looked at what I would call the five best breakouts so far. Five guys who have just been amazing hitters. And we didn't see it coming, at least with four of them. Josh Bell, top five hitter. He was kind of cold in 22 games. He had a 7.42 OPS, and then he homered in back-to-back games Wednesday and Thursday. Joey Gallo has an OPS over 1,100, a 3.83 BABIP, but just he's having a great year. Ketel Marte is a top 10 hitter. Scott's been talking about him a lot lately, and already 20 home runs. His career high, I think, was 14 last year. And Eduardo Escobar, same team, top 15 hitter. He's been really good. Pete Alonso, top 10 hitter. So Josh Bell, Joey Gallo, Ketel Marte, Eduardo Escobar, Pete Alonso. I would say there's a case that they're the five best breakouts of the season, at least in terms of hitters. What do you think about them going forward? And since I want to talk a little trade today, if you were going to sell high on any of them or all of them, who would you sell high on? And last time I'll give the names in case people are a little behind. Josh Bell, Joey Gallo, Ketel Marte, Eduardo Escobar, Pete Alonso. What do you think about these big breakouts, Scott?
I'm pretty much buying into all of them with the exception of maybe Eduardo Escobar, who I think is... This is his roughly the right profile for him in terms of, okay, he's a not-so-great on-base guy who has power. But it's just been too much. It's just been too much power. The expected stats don't back up what he's doing. And really, none of the other data suggests he should be hitting quite this many home runs. And so I expect there's going to be some regression there for Eduardo Escobar. But the others I feel pretty good about. Even Ketel Marte, who I never would have imagined would be this caliber of power hitter.
Yeah, but how could he's not?
Had to,
you know, like he.
What was that?
How could he be? Let's say there is a power spike. Ketel Marte hit 259 or 260 three straight seasons, and now he's batting 320. So this is where it's hard, right? Like, I understand the batted ball data backs it up. It's not like a crazy high home run to fly ball rate. It's not a crazy high BABIP. I'm actually not 100% sure, but. No, it's not. I don't think.
Nope,
no,
right,
actually, 37% fly ball rate is high for him, but not the home run to fly ball rate. So I get it that the batted ball data backs it up, but the history doesn't. Because even if you give him the 2019 environment boost, he is hitting way over his head. So if my guess is in the second half, Ketel Marte's numbers, his batted ball data, and his actual numbers regress. Because
I do think he's legitimately broken out as a power hitter. Now maybe he doesn't quite reach 40 home runs, and so there's some, you know, maybe he hits 12 the rest of the way and ends up with 32. I mean,
right, but 12 home runs.
Nobody's
the rest of
considering
season.
Him anything less than a stud, even if that happens.
No, so. I don't agree with that. I think if he hits 12 home runs rest of season, then you got to talk to me. What's the batting average? Because I think
He has his K rate. I mean, he makes a lot of contact.
But he's always been a 260 hitter, you know? Do you think he just should have been a better hitter?
That's a difficult question to answer. I think this environment has, and it hasn't been just the year. Obviously, this year has been the most extreme example of it. But the past few years, guys hitting for more power than we ever thought was possible for them. I mean, he's only 25 years old, so he wasn't a fully formed player coming into this year. And then you get him elevating the ball more, you get him hitting the ball much harder when the whole environment seems to allow for the possibility of players hitting the ball harder.
Yeah.
You know?
So
if you want to say it's juiced ball, if you want to say there are other factors at play there, it's probably more than just the ball, though the ball's probably the biggest factor. But I think considering the pace hasn't slowed for this whole half of the season, you could dismiss the data if you want.
No, but I don't want to dismiss it.
It does back it up. I just don't know, other than just... I don't believe Ketel Marte could do this because I never thought he could before this year. There's not a case to make against
him. He's a top 10 hitter in fantasy. I don't believe he's a top 10 hitter. And I can understand that a guy could have a half season where he just hits the ball great. I don't expect it to continue. I don't think Ketel Marte is going to be one of the best players in baseball. I do think he's going to be must start. But I guess put it this way. Like, I'm struggling because I'm trying to get Blake Snell in a league. And the centerpiece of my deal would be Joey Gallo. And, like, Joey Gallo is incredible. But we're talking about a low 200s batting average guy who's got a 383 BABIP. He's not striking out less. He's walking more this year. So OBP league, I'd feel safer. This happens to be a batting average league. But I guess when you look at this list of Bell, Gallo, Marte, Eduardo Escobar, Pete Alonso, I agree with you. When I did the research this morning and I looked at all the numbers, I'm glad you said what you said about Escobar because he was the one that seemed the least legit. But the other guys, Bell, Gallo, Marte, and Alonso, would you trade any of them for surefire studs? You know, like a Jose Altuve, who I think it's fair to have questions about him because of the health and because he's not running.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, who would you trade from this list for Jose Altuve? Because I don't think I'd give up Josh Bell for him, and I'm not sure I'd give up Joey Gallo for Jose Altuve, and that seems crazy to me. I think I would trade Marte and Alonso for him, but let's do that with Altuve. Like, where are you with those four versus Jose?
Oh yeah, Altuve is a tricky case.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
because he hasn't looked right all season. He hasn't played much this season though. So,
should we do a different player?
I moved him down. The only one I think of the last trade chart, which was a couple weeks ago at this point, the only one I had ahead of him was, I think it was Josh Bell. But they're all right in the same range, except for not Escobar, of course. And I mean, it's when they're close enough in value, I usually just prefer to stick with the guy I have. I wouldn't want to disrupt it too much. Though Gallo is I think, apart from Escobar, the one who I still have some doubts about, just because it's so unprecedented for a guy who strikes out like he does to be as good as he is, and he wasn't before this year. It's a high BABIP, but the quality of contact he makes, it makes sense for him to have a high BABIP. You don't have to squint too hard to buy into what Joey Gallo is doing, but
yeah,
it's just such a, it feels like kind of a tightrope walk, because it's relying on him doing some, being an outlier in a number of ways that isn't totally fair to expect. And yet, I mean, you watch him play and it's obvious that the guy crushes the ball.
Yeah. Oh, and he's got like a 58% hard contact rate, 57%. So,
yeah.
so how many between Bell, Gallo, Marte, and Alonso, how many of them would you trade straight up for Blake Snell?
It's so much harder to find a good pitcher than a good hitter. You should be buying low on Blake Snell. I'm not sure. We're eliminating Escobar from this conversation, right? And just going with the other four.
We would definitely trade Escobar for Snell. What about the other four? I think it's all fair. Like, because I think it, basically you and I still value Snell as an ace. So I think it's fair to give up any of them. But
It's fair. It doesn't feel like buying low. Maybe Pete Alonso would be the easiest to justify, just because he has some shortcomings, but is he going to hit 50 home runs really this year, 55 home runs like he's on pace to do? That seems a little far-fetched, but he is obviously a great power hitter, and I think he's going to be a must start all season. But I'd probably do Pete Alonso for him. I'm not sure about the other three.
So it sounds like you like Marte better than Alonso rest of season.
Yeah. I mean, second base, the fact he's eligible at second base in the outfield, which apart from catcher are maybe the two positions where you might be falling short. That plays into this as well. Like, we need him to be good in a way we don't need some of these others to be good.
All right, Scott. Well, that was a helpful conversation. I think we're buying into a lot of these guys. I'm going to be a little bit hesitant with Marte compared to Scott. Like I said, I still buy that Marte is going to be really good, a breakout player, a must-start player. I don't think that he's this good.
And look, if you happen to get a lot of depth at the positions where he's eligible, and could survive his loss, I pitcher is the one position, as I've said many times, where everybody has a need. So if that's your chance to get Blake Snell, I don't think the average Ketel Marte owner should do it, but I think it's a justifiable trade, certainly.
Okay. All right, so let's take another break here on Fantasy Baseball Today. We'll look at some of the roster trends, the most traded players, the most added players. Steven Strasburg's swinging strike rate has been way down lately, so we'll talk about that right back after this on FBT.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Scott, let's talk a little bit more trade and look at the most traded players. Blake Snell is number one. I am finding it hard to buy Blake Snell low, and I get it, but I'd still buy Blake Snell. Paul Goldschmidt's number two, and do I want to buy Paul Goldschmidt low, Scott? It's getting to be a pretty extended slump.
It is. No, I am definitely, I didn't end up finishing it. I'm going to probably do it next week, but I was working on a dynasty update where I give the five players who've improved their dynasty value the most, meaning I feel like obviously it's going to stick. Five players who've lost the most dynasty value, five prospects who've gained the most dynasty value. Goldschmidt was among the five who've lost the most value. And, you know, the fact he's 31, it doesn't play into the the redraft league argument, obviously, but yeah, it's getting to be pretty concerning, especially given how many other good options have emerged at first base.
Yeah, I still think that there's obviously, I mean, he's 79 games into the season. This is a longer slump than last year. Obviously, there's a chance he turns it around and has a great second half. We are not counting Paul Goldschmidt out. But I think that the asking price should be lower now. I just think that if we're drafting again today, I'm still taking Blake Snell maybe like in the same vicinity. I'm definitely waiting longer on Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. I mean, Josh Bell is past him. I think that's been clear for a while now. I think I'd rank Pete Alonso ahead of him too. Joey Gallo. I think I'd rank both of them ahead of him.
Okay, Jose Ramirez, how are we feeling about him? Do we think he's turning his season around? I personally need to see some home runs before I'm convinced.
Well, if I don't know that a complete turnaround is possible. Like, I don't know that he can get hits and get home runs the way the changes he made to start hitting home runs in the first place and the way the league has adjusted back to him. And I'm borrowing heavily from others who've written about this subject. But it relied on him being pitched on the inside portion of the plate and turning on that. And he's just not getting pitched that way anymore. So he kind of has to make a choice of whether he's going to be 35 home run guy or whether he's going to be somebody who hits for a high average. I think he can regress to the guy he was maybe 2 years ago, certainly 3 years ago, which would still be a great fantasy player. But I don't think he's going to be who he was last year.
All right, that's Jose Ramirez. His last 13 games, he's batting .306 with a .386 OBP and a .510 slugging percentage. That's an .896 OPS, two steals, only one home run, three doubles, two triples. So at least he's giving you something. And it's hard for me to, like, trade him. I get offers on Jose Ramirez because actually, like, I think he has 18 steals on the year. They're very valuable. So, all right.
Yep.
I want to move to the most added list here, but I see Aaron Nola is number four on the most traded list. Another good start yesterday. That's two excellent starts in a row for Nola. They came again. This is seven scoreless innings with one hit and 10 strikeouts. And the Marlins were his previous start. This one was against the Mets, and his previous one was a 10 strikeout performance at the Marlins. Do you think he's back?
Mm-hmm. I hesitate to say he's all the way back because the swinging strike rate is still way down from a year ago. But at the same time, in terms of actually getting strikeouts, he is 78 and 64 and a third innings in his past 10 starts. So he's mentioned that he's getting ahead of hitters better the last two starts. I'm not really sure how to verify that claim, but I can say that his first pitch strike rate is way, way down from a year ago for the entire season. So I do buy the idea that that was maybe contributing to the problem, not getting ahead of hitters and then, you know, not being able to employ your arsenal in the most effective way. So I'm encouraged, definitely. I feel like I jumped the gun moving him down 20 spots. prior to these two starts and have since moved him back into my top 25.
Okay, so let's go to the most added list then. Most added players, Liam Hendricks is number one. He's your closer for the A's. He's 59% owned. Do we have a timetable on Blake Treinen?
Well, he threw, I think, 20 off flat ground. He threw like 20 pitches. A bullpen session's coming up this weekend. So, yeah, it doesn't sound like it's going to be a long-term absence for Treinen.
Okay. So that might be someone on the most drop list soon, but I get it. Liam Hendricks right now. Logan Allen is number two. We talked about him. He's a two-star pitcher. Ross Stripling is 84% owned, and I think if you're the Julio Urias owner, I'd really like to have both of them, if possible. If you're the Ross Stripling owner, I could see Urias getting dropped, but I would make a super buy low offer, like the last player on your roster or something. I don't know. You feel that way, Scott? Like I'd love to get whoever joins the Dodgers rotation. Now, if they're just going to be piggybacking off each other for the next month and a half or whatever, that's bad. But I don't think that's going to happen. Stripling looks like the front runner. And if he does join the Dodgers rotation, he could be great. He was last year. So I would like to have that spot in the Dodgers rotation. And if I could get both of them on my team, it wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah, I would like to too. But that's... You know, it's easier to find one roster spot than two. And Stripling, I don't think, has a huge advantage over Urias, especially if they keep piggybacking. I mean, you're going to want the guy who goes second if they keep piggybacking. So that's the guy who's going to be more likely to get wins.
Yeah,
the other one wouldn't stand a chance of getting wins, frankly. So I would go with Alzolay. I would go with, who were we just talking about at the top? But McKay. I would go with both of them over Stripling or Urias, but
ooh,
Stripling and Urias are players I want.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay, Alzolay is fourth on the most added list. Bobby Bradley's fifth. I think if you own Bradley, first base eligible only, Roto would probably be his format because he's going to strike out a ton. He already has 7 strikeouts in 15 plate appearances. Jordan Yamamoto, 80% owned. Yeah, would you drop Yamamoto for Brendan McKay?
I would. Yes, I hope I wouldn't have to, but if push came to shove, I think McKay's skills are on a different level than Yamamoto's.
Carlos Martinez, 66% owned, and makes sense. He's got a chance to be the closer for the Cardinals. Chris Taylor, definitely someone we should talk about, 49% owned. And Chris Taylor, he's in my notes today. Last 10 games, batting .514 with 3 home runs, including 1 at Coors Field yesterday, and 2 steals. So he might only have another week and a half before he's a bench player again. But what do you think about Chris Taylor, 49% owned?
Yeah, he has just been on fire since taking over. And maybe, I'm not sure exactly where, maybe it's here and there. Maybe it opens the door for more playing time for him going forward. But I haven't actually added him anywhere because it does seem like the window might be small for him.
Okay. A lot of guys on the most added list, the window might be small for them, including Alzolay and McKay, but you have to take chances on those types of players. And we've talked about so many more of these guys, so I am content to move on, I think. Okay, Scott, I'm trying to plan the show here because I got a lot to get to, including the 2-start pitchers. I do apologize. I will not have weekend streamers. I just forgot, and then it was 5 minutes before the show, and I was like, crap. So I apologize for that. That's my bad. Emails. Let's do this. Let's finish up yesterday's stuff. Hey, real quick, Shohei Ohtani or Justin Upton?
Shohei Ohtani.
Hey, real quick, from Benjamin. From Benjamin. You see the Ohtani versus Upton comparison. Both have been very good, but yeah, I'd take Ohtani too. By the way, Ohtani is crushing lefties this year. Holy cow. If he starts hitting lefties, he might be one of the best hitters in baseball. Benjamin wants to know, Scott Kingery or Nick Senzel rest of season?
Senzel.
All right, who are you moved to add amongst these hot hitters? Michael Franco, Chris Taylor, mention him again. Ryan McMahon actually was 1-for-23 on the road, and then he came home yesterday and went 2-for-5 with a home run. Kevin Newman has been very good leading off for the Pirates. Corey Dickerson off to a nice little start in his return from the IL. Eric Thames and Todd Frazier are only 13% owned, and they've been doing some good things. Now, Thames has at least six righties on the schedule next week. So if you're in a deep league and you need someone, Thames might start six or seven games next week and has an 866 OPS against righties. Todd Frazier's been absolutely on fire. He's got like a 930-ish OPS in his last 39 games. So Taylor, we talked about, but Michael Franco, Ryan McMahon, Corey Dickerson, Kevin Newman, Eric Thames, Todd Frazier. Are we missing the boat by not picking up any of these guys?
I don't think any of them I'm super eager to add. The only one who I might slot ahead of Taylor in priority, and obviously I just talked about how I hadn't added Taylor anywhere, is McMahon, just because of the upside in that environment, which we've been saying all season, and apart from brief stretches, it hasn't really amounted to much. So, you know, that's kind of my level of interest for this group.
Okay, I just got to tell you that we got called out that there's a new drinking game, apparently, and it's whenever the word environment is used on this show.
Really?
One of our listeners is going to take a drink, and he's wasted right now. So, because we have said it so many times. That's Matt from Dublin. Matt, I'm sorry that so early in the morning you're having so many. They're like, it's. I don't just single out Scott, because we're all. I've been saying it a lot too. Environment is the word of the show, and we have.
Well, what's a better way to say it? What's a different way to say it?
I don't know, but we're gonna have to try to vary it up. We're gonna have to try.
Yeah.
Are you done talking about those hitters?
Yes.
Okay. Four-man rotation. Your quick thought on Zach Wheeler. We talked about Nola. The very bad Brad Peacock and the very average Steven Strasburg lately.
Zach Wheeler's like my favorite player this year because he might be the most...
Say it, environment.
...demonstrative of the changing landscape as starting pitcher.
Yes. Now I've always we've been
ERA.
Saying buy low on Wheeler, and we're sticking to it. And
yeah.
He's good. He goes deep into games. He's better than his numbers.
I don't expect ERA to get much better than 450. Maybe it can drop just a little below four. Maybe, hopefully. But he pitches deep into games and usually gets more than a strikeout per inning, and that's just such an unusual combination to find. Like unless you're going a reliever heavy route, I don't know how he's not one of the top 30, 35, 40 at least starting pitchers in fantasy.
I wish Brad Peacock were a little more valuable because he's good. I mean, he got crushed yesterday, but he doesn't pitch deep into games. He has one quality start in his last five starts. It was an amazing start at the Yankees. I'm going to be sitting him next week at Colorado. I think I'm just going to hang on to Brad Peacock and start him when he's not at Colorado, but... I wish he pitched deeper into games. He usually throws about 90 pitches. And any concerns about Steven Strasburg? Not a lot of strikeouts, a 10% swinging strike rate in his last three starts.
Yeah, I don't think three starts is a long enough stretch to raise concerns for me. But his ERA is approaching four now, too. That's just kind of what you expect for every ace pitcher. You know, the good starts are good enough. I don't know. It's strange. We talked about it a lot yesterday, obviously. I don't really know how to adjust for this yet because obviously you say a guy pitches a lot of innings and that's why we like them anyway. It means more strikeouts. It means a better chance of wins. But it also means that ERA counts for even more. It hurts your team ERA even more. In a points league, you don't care about that at all, obviously. But in a categories league, you do. I just don't know what the alternate approach is other than to go reliever heavy, in which case you're giving up on strikeouts and wins, which may be worth it. I don't know. We obviously got into this a lot yesterday. We don't need to rehash it. But
Scott, would you rather have Strasburg or Snell?
I'd rather have... Like, Strasburg is sixth in my starting pitcher ranking. ERA approaching 46. I think the top five probably stands out from the rest now. But that's, you know, I moved Snell down to like ninth, I think, or something like that. So I do have Strasburg. I think Snell has more upside, but there's also some concerns there that he's not healthy or whatever else.
Scott, Strasburg is the number 8 starting pitcher in fantasy, even with that high ERA. The top 8 are Verlander, Ryu, Scherzer, Greinke, Minor, Morton, Cole, and Strasburg. So there we go. All right, let's do this segment. New segment. 10 emails in 5 minutes. Scott, you're on the clock. Here we go. From David, with Craig Kimbrell coming back, who should I drop or trade? Greg Holland or Raisel Iglesias?
I would drop Iglesias, actually. It's been pretty shaky, and they've taken to using him in unconventional ways. I don't know why Greg Holland's save total is so low, because the Diamondbacks have not been a bad team this year.
He has
like a fluky thing.
3 saves since May 3rd in 5 chances. Yeah. And I went through their entire schedule. They just haven't had that many chances. They cooled off. Yeah, whatever. All right, we got to back to the emails. This is from Justin and Waco. Dear Buzz, Neil, and Michael, those would be Moonwalkers. Rank these starting pitchers going forward in Roto. Domingo Herman could be back next week. Mike Soroka, starting tonight. Zach Gallen, Brendan McKay, Caleb Smith, and Ross Stripling. Why don't you give me your top 4, Scott? Herman, Soroka, Gallen, McKay, Caleb Smith, Stripling.
Michael didn't walk on the moon, but my top 4 here would be Herman, Caleb Smith, Soroka, and Gallen.
Okay, by the way, it's Michael Jackson, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. okay, here's an email. I don't know a name. Can you rank these pitchers, the order of who you're excited about? He wants you to rank all 7. I'm going to ask you for your top 4. Gallen, Flaherty, McKay, Carlos Martinez, Pivetta, Alzolay, Arias. Who's your top 4 between Gallen, Flaherty, McKay, Martinez, Carlos Martinez, Pivetta, Alzolay, and Arias?
I would go Flaherty, Gallen, McKay, and Alzolay.
All right, Jonathan says, Fernando Tatis has been carrying my team in a 10-team points league, but I know he's hitting over his head. How high should we sell Fernando Tatis? If he regresses, is he
still an interesting question. It's an interesting question, because that has been the biggest challenge for me as I kind of immerse myself in the XBA stat for the first time, because his XBA is like around 220, 230. You could just look at his BABIP. He's about mid-400s and recognize the batting average is probably not something he can sustain. But I would have a hard time believing he's not at least a 260 hitter the rest of the way. And with his power speed combo, that's going to be plenty good enough.
Do you put Tatis in the Pete Alonso, Ketel Marte, Joey?
I have both of them over him.
Okay.
So I there probably is a sell high opportunity there.
Okay.
Assuming it's not a dynasty league, of course, because you're not giving up Tatis in a dynasty
league. All right, Scott, we got to keep going. From Jeff F. Dear Nye, Paxton, Pullman, and Buffalo, those are Bills. I have Kershaw and Ryu as the anchors to my rotation. They're both at Coors this weekend. Are they must starts, given what happened to Walker Buehler last night? I don't think I'm starting Kershaw. I am not starting Kershaw.
All right. I would.
Okay. Agree to disagree.
But that's fine.
Zach H. from Houston, Texas. What's up with Edwin Diaz? We answered this. What's up with Edwin Diaz? We're cool with him. All right. Would you drop Edwin Diaz to pick up Corey Kluber or Luke Weaver? I would not.
No, I wouldn't either.
Ryan C. from Big Bear Lake, California. Is in a 12-team head-to-head categories league. He's 20 games up in first place, so grade the trade. Austin Riley and Ross Stripling to get Blake Snell. I'm thinking A-, he says.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Yes. I mean, even if Riley is this good, it still feels like a buy low for Snell, and there's reason to believe Riley's not this good, so it might have been a combo sell high buy low.
From Andrew, 12-team head-to-head, Matt Carpenter was just dropped. I have Joey Votto. I have hardly played him. Dozier and Vlad are my first and third baseman. Votto has been better lately. I also have Laureano. Would you be okay to drop Laureano or Votto this is a confusing question. To add Matt Carpenter.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. I don't know if you said categories or points. It's much more justifiable in points. But even so, I mean, Laureano, he may be a 2020 guy, but not a particularly exciting 2020 guy. And I'd rather pursue the upside of Carpenter.
Those were 8 emails in 5 minutes, not 10. But let's see. Ugh. Let's see how Scott can do with this one from Brian in Springfield, Missouri. Any chance you could convince Michael Caine to give us an example of what the baseball tips from the London PA announcer will sound like? Now, remember, I said that they're going to sort of help the baseball fans in the stadium with some, I don't know what they're going to say, but they're going to try to, like, you know, fill them in on what's going on a little bit, educational, I'm not sure. So how, like, Michael Caine, if he were the PA announcer, Scott, what do you think he'd say?
I once knew a man named Lorenzo, last name Caine, like mine, only spelled differently, no E. So this Lorenzo fellow, he played a certain game called baseball. Baseball just so happens to be coming to my homeland this weekend. We're going to see a match between two prestigious organizations, the Red Sox of Boston, the Yankees of New York. Baseball, of course, is a lot like cricket. There are some similarities there. Although in cricket, of course, we're talking about the maiden, the Yorker, the dolly, the golden duck, the mid-wicket, the city point. These terms we know well, of course, but baseball has its own terminology that I do believe is worth exploring right now. For instance, in baseball, there is such a thing as a professional hitter, I've heard. I assume all of the hitters we're going to see are professional. I don't think they're planning on bringing any amateurs over. There's an expression in baseball, he plays the game the right way. Well, I assume the right way is the winning way, right? That would be the way that wins you the game would be the right way to play. I assume. One can only assume. The unwritten rules is something that's brought up in baseball often. I don't know why they wouldn't just take the extra step of writing it down. It would help with the uninitiated like us. There's a can of corn in baseball, which I've actually heard about this one. It refers to the stock boys in the grocery. They put the can of corn on the top shelf. They might need to take a stick. One of them would take a stick, knock it down. The other would stand underneath and catch it. So it's like catching a pop fly. So I've heard. There is a lot of references to fire in baseball. There's a flamethrower. There's a blazing fastball. There's the high heat. There's the scorching line drive, which all serve to indicate that for all the athletic feats, the displays of skill, some men just want to watch the ball burn. This brings us to, of course, the refreshment at a baseball game. Now, you won't find pies at a baseball game, be it mincemeat, blueberry. They have other refreshments. They have the hot dog, which we've all heard about, the peanuts, the Cracker Jacks. But what you'll find at every venue, the concession you'll find at every venue, is the popcorn. And if there's anything you know about me, Michael Caine, it's that I prefer my popcorn buttery.
I think that was your best yet. That was your best. That was there. I mean, you got the want to watch the world burn. What does he say?
Yeah, some men just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah, that's outstanding. Yeah. Good for you, Scott. Oh, wow. Well done, Scott White. Love it. All right, 2 star pitchers for Fantasy Week 28 or whatever we're at next week, 15. Okay, any question marks? Jake Odorizzi coming off kind of a rough start at Oakland and home against Texas.
Yeah, I'd still start him. Yeah. Okay. I mean, things have been regressing here recently, but
yeah.
Odorizzi. I got to get out of Caine here. Okay. Fantasy baseball analyst. We can do this.
First name Lorenzo, only spelled differently. Yeah, that's a good one to get to kind of calibrate. Jack Flaherty at Seattle, at San Francisco.
Who was it again? I'm sorry.
Jack Flaherty at Seattle.
Jack Flaherty.
Oh, that was terrible. Yeah. At Seattle and at San Francisco.
I think those matchups easy, but I probably would any two-star week for Flaherty, even coming off an awful start.
How about Matt Boyd at the White Sox at home against Boston?
Matt Boyd is an easy call, too, yes.
Ross Stripling, like, listed as a two-star pitcher, is he going to actually make two starts that are long enough to justify starting him against Arizona and San Diego?
That's a good question. I don't think in many cases I'd be willing to roll the dice on him.
Yu Darvish is
not
at Pittsburgh.
Until we know exactly.
Oh, sorry. Yu Darvish is at Pittsburgh and at the White Sox.
Points league, I'd probably do it. Roto league, I'd probably win it.
Dallas Keuchel, Philadelphia and Miami at home.
Probably also just a points league thing. Though I think he's easier to justify than Darvish in categories.
All right, that's Keuchel. How about, this one's really tough. Griffin Canning, very good start yesterday at Texas and at Houston. Yikes. Now, he has faced good opponents before, great opponents. 5 innings, 1 run against Texas. 6 innings, 3 runs against the Dodgers. But how do you feel about at Texas and at Houston?
Both, yeah.
Those games were home.
I think
I just
he's
mentioned.
Good enough. And I know, like, the fact he's not 80% owned yet, it amazes me. But I think he's good enough that I'm willing to run him out there with any matchup. Now, the one shortcoming he has shown is a vulnerability to the fly ball. And these wouldn't be, I mean, vulnerability to the home run because of the fly balls. Yeah. And this wouldn't be, these could be matchups that burn him, certainly. But
burn him. Fire.
I think the skills are good. Like, he has a sub-1 whip.
I know.
He has what would be the fourth best swinging strike rate in baseball if he qualified. I think he's really good.
Griffin Canning. Joe Musgrove, Cubs and Milwaukee. Another tough one, but pitching well lately.
Yeah, less than must start. I would start him definitely in points leagues, but I guess I'd be more likely to start him than either Keuchel and Darvish and Roto.
Zach Gallen at Washington, at Atlanta.
Yeah, maybe not in a Roto, but definitely in points. Not for sure he's going to make the two starts, obviously, because Caleb Smith has to bump somebody at some point.
All right, then we talked about Pivetta, Logan Allen, Matt Strom. Logan Allen is Scott's favorite there. Then we have deeper leagues, Dylan Bundy, Tyler Mahle, Chase Anderson, Ariel Jurado, Jeff Samardzija, Trent Thornton, Jake Junis, Ronaldo Lopez, Jason Vargas, who's been pitching better lately, Wade LeBlanc, who's been pitching very well. I'm surprised we have him listed as a two-start pitcher when he's been used with an opener. Daniel Megden, Adrian Hauser, Glenn Sparkman, Clayton Richard. Anybody, Scott? Anybody at all?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not seeing a lot I'm willing to roll the dice on there. Megden was good in his last start, but Minnesota, and I don't think he's good. So, no.
Okay.
I'd rather not roll the dice on any of that.
That's it for us. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed Michael Caine. Thanks for your emails. Had like 60 emails this morning just from last night. So I try my best to respond to some and put some on the show. But just be aware, we get a lot. Can't answer all of them, and I am sorry about that. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday on Fantasy Baseball Today.